Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast. I'm excited to bring to you Michael Eck, who graduated. He's a superhero coach, and we actually graduated from the same program for with accomplishment coaching. So it's so nice to see you again. I'm glad.
Yeah, good to see you, my friend. And it's I appreciate you having me on your show, and I acknowledge you for what 60 something episodes, huh?
Yeah, but we're at 68. I know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you. I'm happy to be here and happy to contribute.
Yeah. And I know you're one of the contributors to the Great Pause, which I'm super excited. It looks like it's going to launch pretty soon. So pumped about that.
Yeah, so that's that's awesome. What a great book to have coming out during this kind of crazy period in the world. And hats off to Elizabeth for, coming up with the idea and having so many great collaborators on it. I'm definitely honored to be on that, or involved in that book as well. So I'm pretty pumped to have that come out hopefully next month.
Yeah, I'm pumped. So it looks like you're in California right now. It looks.
So I'm in San Diego and I'm from Connecticut originally, grew up in Connecticut. Just a quick little background, I guess. I was an entrepreneur for most of my life at a young age. Also had children at a pretty young age. So I have three grown adult children, Jordan, Kirsten, and Taylor. They're 32, 30, and 28. And then I have two little granddaughters, Lily and Josie, that are 3 and 5. But I've been happily divorced for a long time too. So I figured this was going to be my opportunity to come out to San Diego, build my life coaching practice, build my personal training practice. I also do seminars for women called this Superwoman Survival Seminar, which is like an empowerment workshop and self-defense workshop combined in one. And then I, of course, I have my life coaching practice, which I call myself a superhero coach because I believe that everybody has a power within them. So it's about helping them acknowledge that power, accepting that power, aligning with that power, and activating that power to lead heroic lives. And to me, a heroic life is really just leading your best life. So whatever that might look for each individual person, it's just getting them to lead their best life. And as cool as superheroes are with the masks and the capes, you don't need a mask and a cape to be a superhero. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I like to say, rip the mask off, so to reveal the true hero within you. You don't have to hide behind anything. So I came out to San Diego last year in July of 2019. So it's been just over a year that I've been out here. It's a beautiful place. My kids have been out here a bunch of times to visit. My granddaughters have been out here. So it's a move that I did for myself to, like I say, build my practice and to, do something for myself, and it's a great place for well-being.
Yeah, it sure it doesn't hurt when when you go through the winters in New York or Connecticut and you're like, why did I live in Connecticut as long as I have?
Yeah, exactly. And New York is a great place too. And I actually used to live in New York City as well. And I definitely love the city. I miss it a little bit when I'm out of it, but yeah, being out here, I graduated from the accomplishment program in New York, I believe, like you did, right? So I was summer 2015 to 16. What about you?
It's been 3 years. I think it's only been 3 years for us. Yeah.
Okay, so it was like 2017 or so you
Yeah.
graduated, probably. Okay, cool.
Right.
And that was a great experience, and so many great connections and great people that are going to be lifelong friends for me. It's one of the best training programs in the world, accomplishment coaching. So I'm definitely pretty stoked to have graduated from that program, and now I can take that with me. So, but I was doing coaching back even in the 90s. I was creating my own seminars, creating my own audio programs back then. But then lost my way a little bit, like a lot of us do. And part of my story, just to throw it out there, is I'm also in recovery. So as a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, I'm able to bring that to the table as well. So for people that are suffering through that, they don't know where to turn, or, because for that, overcoming something like that, it really requires us to tap into that power that we do have within us. So that's a little bit in my wheelhouse as well.
Yeah, if you don't mind sharing, but I mean, I'm sure it's a lot of
Sure.
combined, but was it like like an escape mechanism? Like, is it?
I mean, I would say, I mean, there are certainly you know, in the medical journals, you know, it's considered a disease and went untreated. But, you know, you don't even have to really drink or use drugs. It's about, for me, it's about filling that hole that when we don't put God or a higher power or some sort of power, you know, it's like there's a lack. So we suffer from a lack of power, and the solution is to get more power. And we think the power is alcohol, drugs, or it could be women. It could be porn. It could be shopping. It could be food. It could be any of those things. So it's really about filling that big gaping hole that we have. And, you know, we're not born that way. I believe that we're born with that perfect alignment with our power, but it's, you know, through society and peers and listening to everything around us that we become somewhat a little, you know, we become somewhat lost, you know. And I believe it's just part of my journey, you know. I don't judge it at all. As a matter of fact, if anything, I embrace it at this point. So then it's, you know, tapping into that power. And through that, the way that we do that, or at least for myself, and if I work with clients, is through prayer, through meditation. And it could be prayer for any kind of prayer for you that works for you. It's not about pushing any kind of a religion or even a specific spirituality on somebody. It's really helping them find all the answers are within them, right? So it's about helping them find that power. So for me, you know, I owned bars. I was an entrepreneur. Yeah, there might have been some circumstances or things that created kind of the habits of it. But, you know, I wouldn't want to put responsibility or blame on anything, any place, any person. It's really something that just happens, I believe, within. And we have to learn new coping skills to deal with it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to deal with it. But certainly for me, it's filling that big hole that's with a power and being in alignment with something and trying to be of service and, you know, practicing gratitude and, you know, putting your hand out to help another person, you know. And in 12-step programs, one of the final steps is helping other people recover, because that's what helps keep you, you know, sober in whatever it is that you're recovering from. So that's a big part of my journey. I had some bouts with it, ups and downs with it. But I've consistently been sober for a while now, and it's, you know, it's life changing, you know, it's, you know, and I'm not saying that I didn't have some good times, you know, owning bars, things like that. But, anytime that I wasn't feeling right or, you know, was getting into trouble or anything like that, you know, I wasn't at my best, and that's really what it's all about. I really want to be at my best and tapped into that power to lead somewhat of a heroic life in a way. So that's kind of what that's all about.
Wow. Yeah. It's fascinating. I do agree with you that we all fill that void with something, right? Mm. Some of us, it's work. Some of us, it's like TV shows or Netflix or social media, right? So it is interesting. I do think that, funny enough, like my latest addiction is actually like self-development, you know, like I feel.
Yeah. And you can become addicted to that. You know, people in, you know, like a 12-step meetings, they become sometimes addicted to the 12-step meeting itself, hmm. or become addicted to the people in it. And right. I think that can be, I mean, I'd rather have them addicted to that than other things, right? But it's just like being addicted to personal development. But even with the personal development, there's so many things coming at you from so many different angles. A lot of times I feel it's better to put some blinders on and have some focus, because I'm definitely someone that can go down the rabbit hole with personal development. I mean, yeah, I was going to seminars in the 80s and the 90s, going to all these different, yeah, I remember different workshops or different things like Success Magazine and Inc. Magazine would put on back in like the late 80s, early 90s. And I would fly to the different cities in the country, and, you know, I heard amazing. That's what really got me onto that trajectory. But, you know, I probably became obsessed with it a little bit over the years, you know, and again, better than getting obsessed with some other things. But I also feel like having a specific, very specific goals in mind and, you know, getting your dreams, you got to put your feet on the floor, you got to get up out of bed and get the work done too.
And how did you first find out about accomplishment coaching?
So Sarah Bernier, do you know Sarah Bernier Olin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who was an old friend of mine. I've known her since like 2004. And she had known that I had some experience in that world like way, way back. again, kind of lost my way. And at the time, this was back in the early or 2013, 14, 15, I owned a martial arts school in Connecticut. And as an entrepreneur, I've done a lot of different things, but that's martial arts has been something I've been doing since 1970. And it's been a love of mine, since I was 5 years old. And so having a martial arts school was a dream come true to me. And she called me up and was enrolling me into becoming, getting into the program. And the cool thing is she didn't give up on me, because I was like, financially, I don't think I can do it. And, I don't really have the time. I made every excuse in the book. But she's like, Michael, you are built for this. And after a while, I just made a commitment, and it was not an easy commitment to fulfill because of, excuses. I mean, if it wasn't driving me towards fulfilling that commitment, it was just an excuse. And I know that now, but at the time I'm like, oh man, how am I going to get down to the city every weekend, every month? And how am I going to afford it? Because it's, wasn't a small cost for me at the time as I was building a small business. So, but that year, was a year of tremendous growth and possibility and opportunity. And like I said, I met some great, amazing people. Alex is one of my best friends, Terra Nova. He's got the Dream Mason podcast. I'll just throw a shout out to him. That's how I got into it. And then, I didn't really build my coaching business too much from there, because I was, in a way, I was coaching so many children already in my martial arts studio. And in a way, coaching their parents as well. The karate mom and dad, It's like, hey, I've never done martial arts, but let me tell you how you should run your school, So I really kind of took a break, and then I wasn't really sure what I was doing. And that's what brought me out to California, was really to, I'd gotten out of the martial arts business. And last year when I came out here, my intention was to specifically build that practice. Now, I don't know if you know what happened when I came out here. Are you familiar with what happened when I came out?
A little bit. I mean, enough.
Yeah.
Their details. Yeah.
So when I came out here, the first weekend that I'm out here in California enjoying the beautiful sun and sand of the Pacific, I take a swim out in the ocean and I get stung by a stingray the first time I'm in the water. And I have a history of mishaps and accidents, I guess. I've broken 9 bones. I'm a hemophiliac, which is a bleeding disease. So what happened with the stingray wound is normally you don't have to go to the hospital unless there's an infection. But for me, because of the hemophilia, it was swollen and there was some internal bleeding possibly going on.
Wow.
So my first month here, I ended up in the emergency room. And through the examination experience, it was discovered that I had a small lump underneath my armpit. So I kind of forgot about it when I walked out of the emergency room. Like, yeah, okay, I'll get that checked out. The doctor told me to get it checked out. But I'm like, I'm just going to live my life here and start getting going. But I noticed that the lump underneath my armpit was starting to grow. So on my birthday of last year, October 16th, is when I was diagnosed with cancer. And at first I thought it was lymphoma, which is a pretty treatable cancer at this point. But then I went to the doctors, and the doctor sat me down, and she had this sad look on her face, and she kind of rubbed my leg. And I'm like, what's going on here? And she's like, well, you don't have lymphoma. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why is your face so sad still? So she said, you have advanced metastatic melanoma and there's no cure. There's no cure, meaning they won't tell you that you're cancer free. They call it NED, which is no evidence of disease. But advanced metastatic melanoma is a skin cancer that gets through the skin and into the bloodstream. And quite frankly, 5, 6, 7 years ago, this was a death sentence for the most part. So, I had to break that news to my family back home, my children, and, my dad, my brother, my friends. And, you don't really have to know the effect that it has on other people too, as much as it affects you. But this is where some of my coaching comes in, my sobriety comes in. So when I just went at it with a really positive mental attitude. So I just really leaned into spirituality. I leaned into meditation and prayer. I leaned into getting support and asking for help from other people. And I documented a lot of my journey, via social media. And people are like, why are you sharing all that? I'm like, because it gives me strength to get the support. And also people seeing how that I'm handling things, it allowed me to, again, get outside myself and help other people that might need support. So what happened though was they don't do regular chemo or radiation for metastatic melanoma. It's really not effective. So they gave me something called immunotherapy, which is an infusion. It's similar to chemo, and it can create some really gnarly, as they say out here in California, side effects. And I ended up in the hospital in December. As a matter of fact, Alex Terranova and I, and another wonderful woman, Corrine, we were doing a documentary on healing, which is kind of interesting. And we ended up at Joshua Tree here in California. And I just had my first immunotherapy. And as I was up there in Joshua Tree, I was starting to, I was starting to have trouble really with oxygen and breathing. I didn't know necessarily that it was oxygen at the time, but I ended up getting back to San Diego area from Joshua Tree, which is a really cool spiritual place, and got back here, and I had to go to the hospital, and they admitted me. 2 days later, they admitted me into the ICU. One of my daughters flew out from California, or from Connecticut, my brother, my best friend. And then the next day, they're like, you know, it's not looking good here, and we're going to have to intubate you, which is basically inducing me into a coma. So I was like, whoa, what are you talking about? And I remember that Sunday morning, they came in and said, you know, overnight, things are still not looking good. You're really having a hard time breathing. I was on a lot of oxygen, and I wasn't able to breathe on my own. So they said, we're going to have to induce you into a coma. And I'm like, well, what exactly does that mean? And they said, well, we don't know how long you'll be in. And I said, well, am I going to definitely come out of it? And they said, we can't tell you that. We don't know if you're going to come out of it. And two of my kids were getting on a plane in Connecticut, my other two kids. One of my daughters was already there. And I said, well, we got to wait like 5-6 hours. You know, my daughters are just getting on a plane. And they're like, no, 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 we can't wait. We got to go in and do it now. So I did a video right before I went under, and the thing kind of went viral too. And a lot of people saw it, which was really awesome, because a lot of people prayed for me, which was amazing. I really believe in the power of prayer. And they induced me into a coma for 3 days, man. And it's, you know, I was lucky, obviously, to wake up. Although I wouldn't necessarily call it luck. I mean, I believed. I said faith over fear, faith over fear, faith over fear. Man, I kept repeating that before I went under and prayed. And I just knew that I wasn't afraid to die. I was afraid of leaving the world without fulfilling my promise and without fulfilling a lot of the promises to my kids and stuff. You know, been through a lot in life, and I felt like I have so much more work to do. So came out of that. It was still really touch and go after for a while, you know, but it was cool. I woke up, my kids were there, and it was a pretty powerful, powerful moment, powerful experience. And the cool thing is, you know, being in the recovery community out here in San Diego and the personal development community and church, like there were like literally people coming into my room all the time. I mean, the nurses were like, we've never seen anything like this. We got to like not have so many people in here. It was, you know, getting me tired and stuff, but the support was amazing. So I was in the hospital for 26 days. I came out of the hospital, and then I was home for like 2 weeks. And then from there, I became septic, you know, I got septus, which is, that kills people too. So I almost died twice, you know, and then I got an E. coli bacteria infection. I ended up in the hospital for 11 days. Anyway, through all of this, I had so much support. I leaned into my spirituality. I leaned into taking care of myself, eating better, drinking lots of water, moving my body as much as I could. When I came out of it, they said I was going to be on oxygen possibly for the rest of my life. And here I'm a guy that, you know, trains, you know, MMA fighters, and I've been a martial artist my whole life, very physical guy. And I was like, no, that cannot happen. So I really fought through it, you know, and just, I created these well-being habit checklists. So every single day, making sure I did my gratitude, check it off. I, you know, did my exercise. I took my supplements, drank a gallon of water. I prayed, I meditated, I journaled, you know, so I did all of these things to help me get through all of that, you know. So, you know, it's been quite a journey, to be honest with you. And then they did a surgery on me about 7-8 weeks ago, and they cut out the big tumor. They took out the lymph nodes that were in there as well. Hopefully, you know, everything's going to be good. I'm getting scans in October. So it's been a crazy day. It's been a crazy, and I just blurted it all out, but it's been a crazy experience this past year. And now I'm starting to train some clients boxing again, and I'm starting to get some life coaching, superhero coaching clients as well.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so you know, it's funny. I actually just watched. I this is funny. Like, I just started watching Ip Man. You ever watch
Oh, it, oh yeah. All I've seen all four. They're amazing. Yeah.
it? So good. Yeah,
So
yeah.
good. And the guy who's catch cancer at the last one. Did
No,
you see? Oh, just I'm not I'm giving it away. Are you on three?
I've just finished three, so.
Okay, I just blew it for you, but it's four is still good.
Okay, yeah, I gotta check it out. But yeah, man. So you're passionate about martial arts, and I think, do you think like the martial arts, like, because I know it's like the mindset behind it, like
Oh, for sure. I mean, I would say it's a combination of all these things, right? So I've been a martial artist since I was a kid. And while in it as a kid, you don't really know like what the discipline is creating for you, probably. You know, because I've been, you know, I want to be real clear here too. I've gone through things in my life where I've been really incredibly undisciplined. And that's when I was in my addictions and my alcoholism and things and, you know, doing things that obviously I'm not proud of today, but it is what it is. You know, I accept it for what it is, and it's helped me grow. I've had to make amends to some people, things like that. That's important. But yeah, the martial arts definitely, I've always felt a connection with my body and my mind and my spirit completely. So that's really helped me. So between that and the life coaching and the recovery and my spirituality and you know, all of these things I feel have a combination effect on my healing and my recovery, and just believing that everything's gonna pass, everything's gonna be okay. I mean, my doctor is even shocked by me. He's like, you're so unpredictable. You know, the way the medication, I responded to the medication, only 2 to 4% got what I got, which is called pneumonitis, which is a drug-induced pneumonia from that immunotherapy that I had. And I just wasn't giving up, man. I was positive through the whole thing. You know, I mean, I definitely have my down dark days, and there's days when I wanted to curl up and watch Netflix all day. But by that's part of engaging in my recovery, like in doing it on social media too, is because I felt like I had a responsibility to put myself out there, you know, every few days or whatever to let people know how I'm doing, you know. So that helped me get off the couch as well and, you know, put my feet on the floor and get moving.
And then you mentioned you had some promises that you wanted to fulfill with your kids and your well, what were some of those?
That's you know, when I was young, I was a successful entrepreneur in my 20s, and I owned a commercial printing company, a mailing company, baseball card comic book store, a drive-through video store back in the early 90s, and I was doing all of these things. I felt like, you know, like I could do anything, you know. And then, you know, I ended up losing everything like in the early 2000s. I ended up losing everything. My first business I started in 1985. So I had 15 years of, you know, success and, you know, ups and downs, certainly. I would get restless at times, you know, and want to create a new business, which was just distracting me from the business that was probably, you know, allowing me to have the lifestyle that I was having. So anyway, then I opened a bar in 2004 in Hartford, Connecticut. And that was part of my downfall. You know, that business is a really rough business, you know, especially for someone that, you know, is an addict. And maybe I didn't know I was an addict at that time, but that really kind of took me down. And I didn't mention, so I got hepatitis C as well, which is a blood disease that almost killed me as well. So that's because I'm a hemophiliac, the blood disease I had received blood transfusions all through the 60s and 70s. So I got bad blood. It gave me hepatitis C. So in 2006, I had to go on something called interferon and ribavirin, which is like a low-grade chemo. I had to inject it every day. So I was like sick for a year. But I think some part of that was like, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to live and stuff. And I didn't really know how to handle it maybe at the time. So my kids, when they were little, they had this great lifestyle with me, and we had these amazing times and stuff. And then there were a lot of empty promises later in life. You know, they struggled to get through college financially when I should have been supporting them through that. Just and financial is that's not what it's all about, but it's also important, you know, to obviously take care of your children. And then also just as a personal development person, as a coach, I just feel like I have a ton of people to help. I feel like I can make an impact on the world. I really do. And that's what I, that's what I'm gearing up towards, you know. And the book that's coming out for the Great Pause book is awesome. And then I have another book that I'm writing right now called Stingray, which is going to be my cancer memoir. And hopefully that will help people. And then, you know, creating online programs, you know, I've got a lot of things like kind of in the pipeline that I'm working towards. It's kind of slowly but surely, because I'm still on chemo right now, chemo pills. So they kind of, they beat me up a bit still. So there's days when I'm just not at my best, and I'm going to be on those chemo pills probably until January. And then hopefully if there's no sign of the cancer, I can come off them. But so, you know, I've got a lot of plans, you know, in life, and just helping people and being of service and putting myself out there. And it gives you a lot of perspective when you almost die a couple of times, you know, and you go through what I've gone through. And, you know, I'm nothing special. There's a lot of people that have gone through the same thing and worse, but I believe that I can help a lot of people by showing others the way that I did handle myself through it all and the way that I've, you know, done it. So through this whole process too, you know, love in life is important, you know, and I met this woman who is, was my sixth grade and seventh grade girlfriend when I was a kid, and I hadn't seen her in 40 years. And she heard I was sick, and we reconnected, and we've been like inseparable ever since. I mean, she lives in New York, so she comes out here. I've been back there, and we're meeting in Montana next week, actually. And, you know, so it's amazing. Like, and I kid with her, I'm like, God, thank goodness that I got cancer, because I wouldn't have met you, you know, again, like from our childhood. And she was like my first love as a kid. Wow. So it's crazy how things, I just believe that God has a plan. There's no coincidences. I believe that, you know, we're all destined, and especially when we tap into that power I was talking to you about earlier.
Were you always a spiritual guy, or is it?
I would say yes, but I put up blocks to that spirituality. Like when I talk about that hole, when I didn't fill it with that power, that positive power, I filled it with a lot of other things. And that was like a blockage to my true self. I believe that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. So, you know, so I definitely believe I'm spiritual, just like I believe you are and everybody I know, but we block it off. And so it was just finding my way back to it. I've always been a positive guy, I will say that. Even, you know, during the worst stuff, people would be like, you know, you still look like you're happy, you know, and you're like walking in, you know, manure here. And then, you know, I usually come out smelling like roses after, because I've got a positive outlook on it. And I know that everything will work out. And I tell you too, like everything that was negative and things like that, it was all self-imposed. I mean, nobody did anything to me. Nobody made me feel anything anyway. It wasn't like, you know, anything like that. Like, oh, somebody hurt me, so I'm going to go out and hurt myself. Nothing like that. It was me hurting myself. It was me doing things to myself that were, you know, hurting me and then hurting people around me, you know? So taking personal responsibility for that is really important. And I'm able to look in the mirror, and even if somebody, you know, doesn't maybe even think that I'm taking personal responsibility for it, I know in my heart that I do on a daily basis. And I also take personal responsibility for doing the right thing and tapping into my power and making sure that it's a good day and I'm helping other people, or, you know, I'm just doing the right thing. I mean, you know, some days are better than others. I'm certainly not perfect by any means. But that's probably why I'm drawn to people that have a lot of flaws and have stories of redemption, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think your story is very relatable. Obviously, like most people in life have not gone through as many, let's just say like bad hands, like drawn, yeah. You know, you were drawn a very bad hand, it seems like, in a lot, in many, at many stages of your life. But it's cool to see that, you know, you're still able to still like be optimistic despite, sure, like, you know, cause most, I would say a lot of people would be discouraged, right? A lot of people would be like, why me, you know? But right. But you even admitted like a lot of it was self-inducing in a way.
I think it's Jim Rohn who said something like, you know, you're asked, why me, why me, why me? Well, why not you? You know, like, who should it be? You know, so that's kind of way I've always looked at that in a way too. And I will say this, you know, I believe that we manifest things in our lives, and, you know, we plant seeds in our minds and our hearts, and those seeds are going to come to fruition, and they could be, you know, negative seeds or positive seeds. So I believe, even in a way, and this is a tough pill to swallow at times, but I believe even the cancer that grew within me was somehow, some way manifested by myself through either actions, thoughts, feelings. You know, when I was not at my best in life, when I was blocking off my power, call it God, call it Buddha, call it whatever you want to call it. So I believe that that even my cancer was manifested by myself. So, you know, I mean, you know, that may not be something a lot of people understand, but I just, that's part of me taking personal responsibility too for my thoughts and my feelings and my actions.
Yeah, that's a very unpopular opinion that you just named. But I mean, I personally believe that too. But, you know, I think once when you're in this world, right, when you read all the Jim Rohn books and all that, then you start to realize like how, because a lot of it we just can't explain, right?
Right.
I do think a lot, it is start. Fine, right? So that, that's interesting. I haven't heard
and we can heal ourselves too, Davidson, too, right? So I mean, I combine Western medicine because of really the seriousness of the cancer, but I use Eastern practices to help myself get through that Western medicine. That's, you know, I mean, I did visualization, I did a lot of breath work, you know, the meditation, obviously. I mean, there was a time, the second time I was in the hospital, they were going to intubate me again. They're going to put me into another coma. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, there's no way that's happening. And I went into a 3-hour deep meditation. Huh. My girlfriend at the time was there. Like, she witnessed it all. She was like, I can't believe what just happened. And she would actually saw the oxygen numbers go down, go down, go down, go down as I was going through that meditation, and they didn't have to intubate me from there. So I just believe in that mind body connection that we all have the ability, but we can't do it if we're not tapped into it. We can't do it if we're filling that hole with all that other stuff, right? So that's part of what my solution is for me, at least, and for hopefully working with clients and getting them through some of those tough times as well.
And how can people reach out to you? Like what's
yeah. So best way is michael@michaelroberteck.com. And my website is michaelroberteck.com, but honestly, it's under construction, so you can't really get much. So I would say email, social media, it's Michael Robert Eck. I also have something online called the Gratitude Gang. I'll have to add you to it. And what I do is I take a picture of somebody, and then I ask them for 3 things that they're grateful for. And then then I put it onto my Gratitude Gang. It's on Instagram, and that's on, it's called Super Gratitude Gang on Instagram. It's called The Gratitude Gang on Facebook. And it's pretty cool. So I used to take pictures of everybody, but then I was sick. So people started sending me pictures and then telling me 3 things they're grateful for. So if you can send me your photo, any photo, awesome photo, and 3 things you're grateful for, and I'll add you to The Gratitude Gang.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. Really appreciate
it. Yeah. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate having me on your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes we think, you know, it's like, oh man, I had a bad week, but you know, you hear these and you're like, all right, maybe my week wasn't so bad.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's all good though. We all go through tough times in life, man. That's for sure. Nobody's immune from that.
Right. So,
thanks for having me, Dave. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll chat again. And I really appreciate you. And oh, you know, so Alex Terranova was my coach for accomplishment coaching, actually.
He was. That's awesome. Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
Good guy. He's actually one that got me doing my podcast. Like,
because, oh, really?
It's because of his podcast. It inspired me to start my own podcast.
That's beautiful. I'm right behind you. It's going to be Superhero Conversations.
You are? Oh, what?
Yeah. So we'll talk more about it. I want to get you on it.
All right. That'll be dope.
Awesome. Thanks, Davidson.
Good one. Bye.